my daughters go to these singles programs occasionally. They're, none of them is in Pittsburgh. I mean, Tammy, let's leave Tammy out of this. Tammy's different. But the two older daughters, they haven't lived in Pittsburgh for, you know, 10 years, more than 10 years. And they find there's something so terribly artificial about these things that they're very...
Yeah, there's that's the bad thing. And it's a shame.
Yeah.
It's really sad. But
so,
it's almost an embarrassment for some people to go, which is ridiculous.
Well, one of the things, you know, Hillel has concentrated almost exclusively until now on the undergraduate population. And one of the things that's happening at Hillel, and I'm a board member, and Barbara Burston, who's a close friend, is now the president of the board, or chair, whatever they call it, of the board at Hillel. One of her goals is to get a serious graduate group going together, and I think that's a very important thing.
And also, you meet is doing other things than just going
in order
to meet somebody, right? So it takes some of that.
So.
You know Tova Weinberg?
Sure, she used to live down the street here. Yeah.
My son's in Boston. She picks my son up with somebody in Boston.
Really? Well, I should talk to her then. Yeah, she used to
He's not. He's going with a girl who's not Jewish. She's a very lovely girl. Anyway.
No, maybe since my daughter's in Boston, maybe we ought to fix your son up with my daughter.
Now
he has somebody.
Yeah.
How old is he?
He's 39.
Uh-huh.
I told him he better do something soon. Unless he wants to be a grandfather. Unless he wants to have a teenage children at age 70 years
right.
old. Right. She's very nice, but she's not Jewish.
All right. What else do you want to cover, Howard?
Did you finish all the memberships in the Jewish community organizations and make whatever remarks that I've invited you to make in regard to their welfare, their prospect, their history? In other words, you've been a member a long time. And
I may be a member of other groups, but I'm not very active.
Okay.
You know, on the Federation, there is this rap against the Federation that, you know, if you're not on the inner circle, you don't get you don't get anything done, or you can't play a significant role. I don't believe it. I didn't come in here to Pittsburgh as a member of the inner circle.
Yes.
And I think all you need is a willingness to do some work.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of respect for Howard Rieger. He's the current... Again, I forget his official title, but the head of the
executive
director of the Federation. Mm-hmm. Now, the question of Israel plays a very large role. Israel altogether played a large role in our lives. We lived there for a year in 67 to 68, and then for half a year on sabbatical in 75, and then for other periods of a month or two. We have lots of family there on my side, on my wife's side.
What about your children? Do you feel they have the same type of feelings and their expectations for Israel as you do?
I think they have it. They don't have it quite as strongly as I do, although Julie, who was born there, feels a special kinship because she was born there.
Mm-hmm.
Both kids have been back several times
mm-hmm.
to Israel. Julie always has administrative hassles because they think every time she shows up that she should have been in the army, because as far as they're concerned, if she's born there, she's an Israeli, and the fact that she left when she was 9 months old doesn't impress them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've gotten this straightened out recently, but I think of my three children, Tammy is the one who enjoys the Jewish rituals the most, no question
yes.
about it. I mean, for her, Pesach and Hanukkah and Shabbos and lighting candles and all those things, those are important things for her. The other two girls, I don't think it's very important. Israel, I think probably for Julie, it plays a larger role than for Dino or Tammy.
Is there anything else you want to say before
I don't know. It's a question of what other topics you want to bring up.
Oh, okay. I don't think we talked about Pitt enough as the university, as the administration of Pitt. You were there primarily during Pozvar's governor presidency,
right.
And then followed by
O'Connor and now
Nuremberg. I think you ought to make whatever comments you feel that you might want to.
Well, I mean, what sort of comments?
I don't know. It's your tape and your circumstance. I know you've been there, and if you know.
Well, gee, I don't have any very strong feelings about mm-hmm. this. I think the university is a bargain.
It's a bargain.
The quality of the faculty is excellent. I see the quality of the students as declining.
Yes.
This is a problem. I think it's true everywhere. I talk to my colleagues even at, Ivy League, Yale, Harvard, what have you. Mm-hmm. And they feel, to some extent, the same way.
Is that right? That surprises me.
I don't know if you're asking me a question about the personalities of the presidents. I thought Pozvar stayed much too long. He should have retired earlier.
He was a great president to begin with, most people seem to say.
Okay. I mean, I came in, he was already here.
He was already here.
I had a lot of interactions with him. I was chairman of the Faculty of Arts and Science Budget Policies Committee for several years.
Did you know Kurtzman?
No. But I had a lot of interaction with Jerry Rosenberg, who was the dean of Arts and Science for many years, and I have a lot of respect for Jerry. Jerry's a remarkable guy. In fact, I still play tennis with Jerry every week.
There's a very contradictory feelings about Jerry among different people.
Yeah, I'm one of the fans of Jerry. Mm-hmm. Jerry is, first of all, he has a phenomenal memory, extremely well-organized person. Mm-hmm. I thought he understood some of the priorities of the university. I was chair of the Budget Policies Committee when he tried to close the Geography Department. To me, it seemed like an absolutely open and shut case. Mm-hmm. If we couldn't close that department, we couldn't close anything. Mm-hmm. And it was still so difficult to do that. Mm-hmm. And he was right to push it. Mm-hmm. The current provost at Pitt, Jim Marr, is also a good friend of mine. He had formerly been head of the physics department, and before that a colleague, in fact, also a Yalie. I had known him all the way from Yale days. I think he's a very talented guy, and I think he's very good. People certainly don't have much kind to say about O'Connor these days, in retrospect. When I met O'Connor, I was very pleased. I mean, I thought this was a guy who certainly had a longer attention span than Pozvar did in the waning days of his administration, and seemed to ask a lot of good questions and so on. In retrospect, it seems that sometimes we make the best decision, but I certainly didn't have a sense when he was around that he was as big a disaster as everybody else seems
made
to think he is.
Yeah. How is it that Pitt managed to collect what some people consider quite a good faculty? I know it probably began with Litchfield, and it's still there to a degree.
Yeah,
why?
It's a good school, why not?
Well, because the students aren't up to the faculty. You mentioned it, and that seems to be the case.
Well, to some extent, I think it's just that there's a lot of talented people in this country. There aren't that many major universities. Mm-hmm. I mean, Pitt is a member of AAU and so on. So, it's someplace in the top 50 universities in the country. It's a really good school.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't think we get the support from the state that we should get. But I presume everybody makes that comment. Fine. Mm-hmm. But I don't have any strong feelings about the political situation at Pitt at the moment.
Right. have you had any contact at all with any of the CMU brass?
Oh, yes. Because of the Supercomputing Center, I had a lot of contact with Dick Seyert.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of Dick Seyert. Dick Seyert's a remarkable guy. The Supercomputing Center is the best example, I'm told, of the collaboration between Pitt and CMU.
Yes.
We have had lots of opportunities for people to put their own interests ahead of the interests of the group in and every time that I can think of, both universities have behaved wonderfully with respect to this project. Seyert and Pasvar, from what I understand from Scuttlebutt, were not getting along very well when this thing was formed, but they closed ranks and they put up a united front and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Supercomputing Center is a wonderful example of the kinds of collaborations that are possible between
mm-hmm.
these two schools.
That's a very good item. And
I've had less interaction with Moravian than we had with Seyert. Seyert took a very deep personal interest in
mm-hmm.
the Supercomputing
Center. That's surprising. Moravian came from Southern California.
Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara. And he's gone now.
Well, he's not yet gone. He's announced that he's leaving. And mm-hmm. they're in the middle of looking for somebody to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I've interacted with him, he's been very supportive. But I think one way to think about it is Seyert was involved in our founding,
mm-hmm.
and in the establishment of this center, and we haven't been a problem. Presidents spend more time worrying about their problems than about their success story.
How about Murray down at...
I don't know.
You don't need it. Haven't needed to. Let's come back to the synagogues for a moment.
Yeah.
Any rabbis you've known? And anything to say about that?
Well, I'd say we've been members of Beth Sholem for probably over 20 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I've known, Goldblum and Steindl have been the only two rabbis at Beth Sholem at the time.
How could you stand the sermons from Steindl?
No, he's not a very good speaker. There's no question about it. He's a fine person, and he's very good on one-on-one. And he's a terrible... I catch up on my sleep. He can always use the time productively.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I enjoy Taube a lot. He's a chazan who is, not only does he have a good voice, but he understands the prayers. He knows what he's doing. It's not just a performance. This is a guy who understands every word of the Hebrew, and you can just tell it. You can just hear lots of cases when people are just reading stuff going on with their reading.
Does his ego bother you?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why should it bother me?
Do your children speak Yiddish?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't hear Yiddish.
Mm-hmm. No.
They know expressions.
Mm-hmm.
But they never really like Yiddish.
The city administration, have you ever had any contact with any of the local politics of Pittsburgh and the state?
Absolutely. Well, because of the Supercomputing Center, we've had interactions with the mayors, we've had interactions with the governors, we've had interactions with the state legislature. We get
money. What were those interactions? Who and what were those interactions? Do you remember?
Oh, sure.
Please comment.
Well, when we got started, one of the things which is required in... if you're going to put a major proposal forward for the National Science Foundation, you need to show them some local matching funds. And so we got a commitment from the Thornburg administration at that time for if the National Science Foundation were to establish the Supercomputing Center, they would put in $6 million over 3 years to support the center, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
And we've managed to basically keep a state appropriation. It's been difficult in some years, but the state has continued to support the center, and that's required a lot of political activity in Harrisburg and a lot of bringing what we do to the consciousness of the politicians in Harrisburg. It's mostly led by the Allegheny County delegation.
Who's your champion in both places, politically and at the Allegheny?
Well, actually, Tom Murphy, when he was a state legislator, now the mayor, was definitely one of our champions. Ivan Itkin is one of our champions. Other people that we've had close relations with is Mike Fisher and Joe Markosik. It turns out the Westinghouse Center, where the machines are, is in Markosik's area, and the Supercomputing Center's headquarters, which is on the campuses, is in Itkin's bailiwick. We've also had support from COIN at the federal level, and also Spectre has been a significant supporter of our efforts. As I said, we get most of our funding, we being the Pittsburgh Supercomputing Center, gets most of its funding from the National Science Foundation, but we were the first supercomputing center extramural to get funded by the NIH.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had a long history of doing work in biomedically related activities, and that's the area that Spectre is particularly interested in. So he has supported our biomedical work a lot. Santorum is a new guy, and so we've had very little interaction. I mean, I've met with him, and I've met with his staffers and talked to him about the center. And of course, I mean, there's nothing not to be supportive about. This is one of the, we probably are, in all modesty, the best center in the United States, and it's right here in Pittsburgh, so why shouldn't they be supportive? It's a little harder to turn it into real dollars. Murphy has been very supportive. We just ran a big conference here in Pittsburgh just 2 months ago, last month,
yes,
where we had 5,000 people here from around the world, mostly the United States, but people from Japan, people from Canada, people from Europe, people from Russia even, I believe.
Are the other centers same type as this in the sense of the university plus industrial operation?
Well, each of them has its own character, but they're all university related, and they all have some contact with industry. But I was going to say, you know, Murphy came to the opening of this thing and was very laudatory of it. We see the city administration in many different ways. They're discovering the benefits of internet and communications, and they come to us for expertise on this thing. The Supercomputing Center is really helping the city out. We're still involved in a major project with the Pittsburgh Public Schools, which is viewed by the National Science Foundation as one of the most successful pilot projects they've ever done in the use of computing, introduction of computing and computing technology into the school system. The Pittsburgh Public Schools, I mean, if you want to talk about frustration, I mean, we've put lots of work into developing a technology plan for the schools, and it was a really good technology plan, and I'm afraid it's going out the window just because of the financial problems which the school system has and their inability to raise taxes and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do this stuff without money.
Mm-hmm. Or without understanding how to use the money you have in ways that are currently more productive. Let me go, what happened with Sophie Maslov? You actually must have gotten started during her.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of interaction with Sophie.
I didn't think you did, that's why I asked you.
No, we didn't.
So in effect, there is a difference in the city administration. Sophie Maslov essentially was neuter in terms of value, and then Murphy's definitely a step in constructively in terms of the world that you have to appeal to.
Absolutely. And Murphy, right. Murphy's much more interested in technology than I presume than Sophie was. It's also later, and it's easier to recognize why it's important.
Yeah, so we just couldn't get him.
What did you do for Pittsburgh Public Schools?
Well, first of all, there is a program called Common Knowledge Pittsburgh, which is a joint effort of Pitt, the Supercomputing Center, and the Pittsburgh Public Schools to introduce computer networking and into the school system and see how to revamp the curriculum and how to revamp school governance because of this new way of interacting. And it's been extraordinarily successful. I mean, they have teachers, for example, they teach German over at Frick School, and we have one teacher who's almost all the homework assignments are web-based at the moment. You go read web pages in Berlin, and you go read web pages here and there. And the thing that there's a lot of effort throughout the country in wiring up schools, but the thing that distinguished our project from the others is that a lot more thought was given not to the hardware infrastructure, but what would you do with it? How would you revamp the curriculum? What difference would it make? Also in school governance and the patterns of interaction. Right now, if the central administration wants to interact with a teacher, you know, they send mail to the principal who stuffs stuff in mailboxes of the teachers and so on. Whereas if everybody's online, you just send email and then the stuff goes through. I mean, you can just bypass all sorts of layers of bureaucracy. So the project we did with them was a pilot project. There's not enough money from the National Science Foundation to really do this for the entire school system. So then we worked on a technology plan which would say, you know, what would it take in order to really introduce on a system-wide basis this kind of technology and this kind of curriculum changes and so on. And it's not cheap. I mean, it's a plan that would cost about $75 million over 5 years. But I think you got to do something like this. We get a lot of support until it comes time to allocate the money, and then it's difficult.
Any last thoughts on family, on does your family live now, other than your daughters whom you covered? But where your mother?
My mother still lives in Montreal. Dodie's mother lives in Montreal. I mean, I would say, you know, in terms of family, I was very lucky. Is really what I would say. I mean, my parents were remarkable people. My father spoke 9 languages. My mother spoke 7. Speaks 7. Very cultured, educated people, and at the same time warm and. I had an easy time growing up. I had an easy childhood.
Right? You make an observation, which is too late to get into now, but we generated different types of people. You mentioned many languages. You mentioned the culture, nevertheless, the personal warmth. American Jews who run around Pittsburgh these days, very few of us, have the kind of mix that you're referring to in your parents, and that's a commonplace I've observed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Canadian Jewish population is a more recent population than the American. America basically closed off its immigration in 1924. And so people who wanted to come from Europe after that didn't come to the United States. You know, they went to Cuba, they went to Mexico, they went to South America, and they went to Canada. And so... You know, my parents came over in 1939, I mean, at the very last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the parents of my friends here in the United States, many of them, well, most of them were actually born here in the United States already.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm closer.
It's not exactly the same.
It's not exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I lament the fact that my kids know a lot less about Judaism than I do, but when I think about it, boy, I know a lot less than my father did, so...
Your father was unusual.
Yeah, my father was definitely unusual.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a pleasure.
Okay.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right.
Yeah.